Welcome to Career Buzz. This is Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations. Que voy a hacer, je ne sais pas. Que voy a hacer, je ne sais plus. Que voy a hacer, je suis perdu. Who helps you develop the tools, experience, and contacts you need to succeed in career and life? Today's Career Buzz guests from Junior Chamber International, or JCI, share tips and inspiring stories to help you build a supportive network, a healthy mindset, so you can flourish in life. Hi, I'm Mark Franklin, practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at CareerCycles.com. I'm pleased to be your host today on Career Buzz. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Jeremy Okrafka is the founder of Mentor Network. His organization focuses on building a culture of mentorship for entrepreneurs around the world. He's a past national manager of CACI, that's the Canadian Association of Career Educators and Employers, and also a past managing editor of Career Options magazine. Jeremy is a past president of JCI Toronto, plus he's a Guinness World Record holder, but more on that later. Jan Vandermeulen is currently nurturing a couple of careers. He's a sales and account management training and development manager with Morneau Chapelle. He's also a counselor with a focus on cognitive therapy. Jan's been a JCI member for 10 years and is a past president. Sales and marketing professional David Tushek spent the last 15 years helping businesses grow their market share and build their brands. He's worked with all kinds of companies, from home-based startups to one of the world's largest banks. David is current president of JCI Toronto. He says that what drives him more than anything is a passion for taking something, growing it, and making it excellent. So David Tushek, Jan Vandermeulen, and Jeremy Okrafka join me live in studio. Welcome, guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Mark.
You. Thank you.
Great. So, David, let me start with you briefly. What is JCI Toronto?
Sure. So, JCI is the world's largest and oldest young professionals organization. We are more than 200,000 members across 5,000 chapters in over 120 countries, all of us on a mission to be better personally and professionally, and also to make our communities better.
And David, we're going to talk more about what it means to be a JCI member, why listeners might be interested in something like that. But first, let's find out about each of your career stories. David, what do you like, first of all, about being president of an association like JCI Toronto?
Sure. I love that the organization itself, it's a very rich organization with a really great history. It goes back almost 100 years, and we have great alumni like Jacques Chirac, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, Kofi Annan. A lot of world leaders have come through our doors and developed their leadership skills. So that's one of the things that I really appreciate a lot about it, and also taking the chapter here in Toronto and helping to grow it.
What kind of skills or strengths do you use to be successful in your role as president of JCI Toronto?
Well, I'm definitely developing my leadership skills, as well as people management, project management, event management. I sort of get my hands in everything.
Great. Jeremy Okrafka, let's move to you. What do you like about your career these days?
Currently, I get to work on some really awesome projects. Last year, as you mentioned before, I got to run what was called the world's largest business mentoring event. And it was basically like a large speed dating event to connect entrepreneurs and mentors.
And you got a Guinness World Record for that?
Yeah, it was the biggest one that had ever been done, kind of speed networking format. So we pulled together 336 of Canada's most successful entrepreneurs and investors and connected them with new startups. So we generated over 4,000 new business relationships out of that, and it was just crazy.
You lead an organization called Mentor Network. What do you do as a leader of that company?
Well, the current main project that we're focusing on, we work primarily in the entrepreneurship sector with regional innovation centers, small business centers, and university and college entrepreneurship programs. And we're just in our launch phase of a new platform called MentorUp. And essentially what MentorUp is it's like eHarmony, but to connect entrepreneurs and mentors. Mm-hmm. So an entrepreneur creates a profile and they can go through and search for mentors who have the types of experiences that they're looking to basically create in their own businesses.
And what strengths and skills do you draw on to be a leader of this organization and to facilitate this thing into being?
It really comes down to being a connector. So being able to connect the dots in a lot of cases. So seeing where, you know, there's challenges within the entrepreneurship ecosystem and being able to connect those with resources and opportunities. And also being a convener, so bringing together organizations for collaboration, because that's where, you know, part of the biggest missing is out there, is that we've got lots of great programs, but they don't, sometimes they operate in silos, and there's a big opportunity to create more results by bringing those together.
Right, and I see that there's a link with that and JCI Toronto.
Absolutely.
We'll come back to that. Jan Vandermeulen, what do you like about your career?
What I like about my career or careers as a counselor and also as a trainer is I love helping people change. That's what they both have in common, and I also love learning from people. So as a trainer, when I gain experiences working with people, I get to learn about them and I get to learn a little more about myself.
And as a trainer, as a counselor, as a manager, what are the strengths and skills that you draw on regularly to be successful?
It's always been probably being flexible, again, learning from people and really being able to learn from the past experiences and not really be hard focused on your ideas and your philosophy and trying to stick with it. So because these careers rely a lot on, I guess, soft skills, there could be some changes, some things that you never thought would happen. It's you don't want to be too far ahead of people. You want to learn from people.
Nice. I like the way each of you guys were able to describe your skills in just regular language. Jan being flexible, Jeremy being a connector. These kinds of words are really important. I like to ask this question, and listeners, you know, think to yourselves also, what skills and strengths do you use? Because I think that's one of the things that people have a hard time doing, is naming their skills and strengths. So, Jan, let's continue with you and your story. You earned an MA in forensic psychology from the City University of New York. Now, what led you in that direction?
It's kind of funny. So back at the time, I was focusing on becoming going into law enforcement. I got into forensic psychology, and some of my studies in my undergrad in psychology and criminology, and my thesis focused on eyewitness memory. That was pretty much my plan. I did have some backups, but when I got accepted, that was my plan from there on. When I graduated, of course, finding work in that area took a bit of time, and that degree is also a clinical psychology degree, so I ended up getting into counseling. I joined a EAP provider and did a contract there, left to supervise a project, and then joined Morneau Chappelle, which was at the time Warren Chappelle, and I thought, okay, maybe I'll focus more on the counseling part. And a training manager said, hey, you know, you're pretty good at inspiring others, and I know I'm tooting my own horn. And they made me a clinical trainer, and eventually I went into sales and account management training.
So that's a whole bunch of steps there.
Yeah.
You know, if I can just try and connect some of those dots.
Sure.
First of all, you mentioned EAP, and if listeners don't know, that's an employee assistance program.
Correct.
Right? But just before we get there, you said something really interesting. Like, you had an idea of getting into law enforcement. Lots of listeners might be thinking, yeah, when I went to do my degree, I thought that I was going to go into X or Y or Z. Law enforcement, like what, like CSIS or the RCMP? What kind of law enforcement?
It was my plan. So a lot of my course focus was on criminal profiling and criminal justice. So I had some hopes of joining some kind of national law enforcement or provincial law enforcement organization.
Now, you said that you had that interest, but then you got into counseling.
Yes.
Right? So just deconstruct that for us. People don't just get into things. Something happens that leads you to it. There's some clues or some things that happened. And what was it in your case that led you away from applying to the RCMP or whatever and towards counseling? What actually happened in that moment?
Well, the area of criminal psychology or forensic psychology is a very narrow one. And I'm just thinking back right now, I even had as an option to get into corrections. But of course, I had student loans to pay off. So I was thinking, okay, what can I do in the meantime? And I got into counseling psychology. But also at the same time, I thought, well, maybe there's a way for me to combine both. And I did in a way where in counseling psychology, especially with employee assistance programs, we deal with sometimes violent employees trying to consult and work on how to manage them, and also some other areas. So there was a bit of an overlap. But eventually, I stayed in counseling psychology, and I got interested in cognitive behavioral therapy.
Just before we go there, how did you get that first job? That first job in counseling?
Oh, I remember I sent 90-something resumes in a few months, and I'm originally from Quebec, and the company in Toronto said, hey, you can speak both languages. We have an opening for you. Come on over. And I said, okay, I'll go for it. I still need to pay off student loans.
So that is interesting. All right, yeah. Listeners, you got it. Go sharpen up your French skills. In Canada, French is such an important skill, and people don't understand that. Normally, what I understand, and maybe you can help listeners out, you know, there's lots of people interested in psychology. They want to help people. It's a very common thing. But an EAP has a certain standard, and they typically say you need a few years of experience.
Yes.
You got a job without that few years of experience. How come?
I think the edge is what you pointed out. The big thing was that I speak French. And if you work in a lot of provinces, they want to have French coverage. If you work for a national organization, knowing French and working with people is something that's very important. So they were willing to hire me. And also the position was one where the experience was more preferred and less of a requirement. So, but it, I went through a lot of supervision, and I finally gained enough experience.
Great. Thanks for sharing that. That's really helpful. That, you know, you were doing what a lot of listeners are doing, is trying to find work in your field. You fired off 90 resumes. You struggled a little bit to get that, but there was this one key, the French language skill, that really pushed you over the top. That's the story. And towards the end of the story, you said then somebody noticed your ability, your strength. Like there's another kind of turning point in your career that happened because somebody noticed something in you and said, gee, you look like you're a pretty good trainer. What was that notice? What was that turning point?
It's something that I've told other people. If you want to get noticed, try to say yes to things that other people don't want to do, but that you like doing. So I said yes to a lot of different kinds of cases. I also got a professional certification. So those were some things that helped get me an edge. So if they needed someone to handle a special case, they said, oh, you know what? Jan seems to like taking these cases because he says yes where most people say no.
That's great advice. So say yes as many times as you can, as long as you kind of like what it might lead to.
Yeah, as long as you like it, and of course, as long as you follow through.
Excellent. All right, we're talking to Jan Vandermeulen here on Career Buzz. We have two other present and past presidents of JCI Toronto here, Jeremy Okrafka and David Tushek. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. Career Buzz is on CIUT 89.5 FM in the Greater Toronto area, and also online, ciut.fm, listening. You can listen in from anywhere around the world. Jeremy Okrafka, let's come over to your story here. You went to Laurier and studied economics, business, and entrepreneurship. Now, what led you into those areas?
Originally, when I was coming out of high school, I was studying to become a chartered accountant. Essentially, I did really well in accounting in high school, and that's what I made my career path based on. And in my second year of university, I had a really defining experience where I ran a student works painting franchise for the summer. And that experience of having, you know, a team that I was running, being responsible for the business, you know, really that whole entrepreneurial experience got me to see how that was much more aligned to who I was and what was important to me than the accounting career path that I was going down.
Isn't that amazing? Those stories are always eye-opening because people have ideas, they have notions of what they think they would be good at, but it's not until you have a real-life experience that some kind of clarity comes. And you just said this was more, what did you say, who I was, or how did
it,
you
it
just
was what it was in alignment with who I was.
great. Thanks for sharing that. I think the idea of getting experience and finding out who you are through it is a key to career clarity. Yeah. So what happened next?
So that was a real turning point for me. From there, I came back to school in the fall and changed programs. I took the lighter version of economics so that it gave me more flexibility to run my business and pursue other experiences.
You mean the painting business?
Yeah, the painting business.
Got it.
And so I got very involved. I ran the Student Entrepreneurship Club at university, and that kind of opened me up into the whole world of networking and making connections and really kind of broadening out my reach to get access.
And if listeners are interested in these student entrepreneurship programs, we've had a number of guests on Career Buzz from them. I remember SIFE. What is it? SIFE is one of them?
Yeah, so SIFE, they've just rebranded to be called Enactus.
Okay. And what was the one that you were a member of?
That was so SIFE's previous
incarnation
brand was called ACE when I was there, but I'm dating myself.
So
with
they're
that.
In their third life now.
Exactly. Yeah. Same organization, same great programs, but just a new brand.
Right. And what's it called again? And if listeners want to find the website, do you know?
Yeah, they can go to enactus.ca.
N-E-N?
Yeah. E-N-A-C-T-U-S.ca.
Great. Thanks. All right. So you started working in these organizations, student organizations. What happened then that led to the thing that you did after you graduated?
Yeah. So that really led me to, you know, learn about building, you know, kind of volunteer teams and learning all the interesting dynamics that are involved in that. So we grew that team really big. We went out, we participated in competitions. And then from there, I ran a lot of events. And that ended up being a key piece for me. I realized how much I love to bring people together. That was the convening part I talked about earlier. And so in my final semester of university, I wrote a business plan on how to bring more of these opportunities onto campus. And that was a great big face flop, right into the snow. I created the business plan, went out and went to implement it, and realized I hadn't done my market research very well in terms of whether there'd be an audience to pay for it. And
surprise, surprise.
Yeah, ran out of cash runway very quickly with that. So that was another turning point for me. And that was when I decided I wanted to go and really apprentice with very successful entrepreneurs who had done the types of things that I wanted to do. So through my ACE network, I was able to connect with one of our conference speakers who was just starting a new financial services company, and I went and spent the next 2 years working with him.
Stop there, Jeremy. That's amazing. You know, most people who graduate don't take a proactive approach. Your story is a story of being proactive. You said, I wanted to apprentice to some entrepreneurs, and so I went out and found them. Whereas most people are surfing the internet looking for job posting, clicking the send button. We heard from Jan, I mean, he had sent out 90 resumes or whatever. Most people are being reactive. They're saying, I don't know what I really want. I don't want to think that through. That's too complicated. So let me just see what's out there and click the send button, where you get 5 seconds of hope and 2 weeks of frustration. You, in contrast, said, I'm going to go out and get what I want. What was different about you that made you proactive?
It was really I think being in having contact with a broad range of people who were just further down the path that I wanted to go down. So developing those relationships in advance, that's been the biggest, I think, differentiator for me.
There's an aha, and I think that's what today's Career Buzz is all about, right? The value of that social network, the social capital that you have through the people that you know.
Yeah.
So did you find one of these entrepreneurs?
Absolutely. Well, and I've found about, since I graduated, 10 of these different roles. And they've all come, you know, based on relationships that I've had for, you know, at least 2 or 3 years by the time that I kind of tapped that relationship to come into an opportunity. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned on my career path, is that building relationships before you need them gives you the opportunity to establish that trust. And opportunity comes to find you. With all of those roles, I've never gone through a traditional job search channel. They've all kind of landed in my lap.
I'm sure lots of people like the sounds of that. The opportunities come to you instead of you having to go and grab them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice way of putting it. We're talking to Jeremy Okrafka here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM in Toronto and CIUT.FM worldwide. Jeremy, I said in the intro, you worked for Casey, you worked for Career Options. Those seem like quite relevant organizations because they do have a kind of career angle to them. What was the story with those two?
Yeah, so the original business plan was really, when I was in university, was how to bring more career resources and experiences onto campus. I'd spent thousands of dollars taking professional development training courses when I was in university. And fortunately, my business gave me the resources to do that. But I realized that most of my friends hadn't. And so a lot of them were making career decisions based on, you know, how much money they would get paid if they had to pay off student debt, or, you know, what city it was going to be located in. They weren't really looking at whether there was alignment with the values and goals that they had.
That is a problem that almost every Canadian has, not just recent grads. I call that career management skill, arguably the most important 21st century skill, and hardly any Canadian has it.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about this problem. You noticed that somehow or other. So what did you do about it?
Yeah, so that was my initial business plan. Obviously didn't do the planning well enough to get the business off the ground. But then 2 years later, one of the members of my board from the ACE chapter that I was running was also on the board of Casey. And so when they were looking for a new national manager, she tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, I know this is going to be a bit of a stretch, being 2 years out of university, but you know, with the experience you've had building up ACE and with your commitment to this space, I think it would be a good opportunity for you to pursue. And it was fantastic.
So that, Casey, for listeners, is the Canadian Association of Career Educators and Employers. This is the organization that brings together like recruiting managers from the big banks and all of that to the post-secondary institutions to do the matching up, that kind of the first job after graduation, right?
Yeah, so we were a partnership of all the university and college career centers across Canada, along with the biggest graduate recruiters, so those big employers that you talked about.
Awesome. So that puts you right in a front row seat to all of this stuff, where the chaos of I'm graduating and what am I going to do next?
Yeah.
Right? And there's conferences and there's stuff. What were some of the best things about that whole Casey experience for you?
Really, it was recreating the business model of the organization. It was a time when the organization was in some flux, and I got to operate a not-for-profit in a very entrepreneurial way. And that's what really made it work for me, because, you know, as we got the organization up and back on its feet again, that's when, you know, it started to lose that luster for me. That, you know, the great opportunity for me was when it was first fresh and we could really, you know, be aggressive with some things. Got to change the business model of how our conferences and the magazine was published. And so those pieces were exciting for me, and I get that now looking back. It was really challenging at the same time, but as I look back on it, it was that entrepreneurial piece that really made it, you know, something that I was willing to be fully 100% in on.
Fast forward to the organization you're running now called Mentor Network. What's one turning point that you can share with listeners from the stories you've just been telling us to the present moment?
Yeah, 4 years ago, I was running a consulting business working with tech startups and really just started feeling unfulfilled in what I was doing. And I realized that what I had done very intentionally before was surrounded myself with mentors who were further down the path that I was looking to go down. And so I realized that that's what I needed to bring back into kind of, you know, my you know, inner circle was a, you know, tight circle of mentors. So I went on a 4-month process of searching for a mentor who met, you know, the criteria of what I was going through at that point in time, who had already been there. And through that process of finding him and then helping some friends find mentors, I realized that there's a huge need for it. You know, finding mentors to help shorten the learning curve of what you're going through, or uncover those opportunities or eliminate blind spots. That's what I look at as kind of the 21st century learning model, where, you know, it's very individualized, and somebody who's been in the place that you're standing right now can give you that 10,000 foot view of what you're going through and help you overcome those obstacles that are getting you caught up in whatever it is that's stopping you.
We've had a lot of entrepreneurs on the show, and listeners afterwards always say, Mark, you got to ask them about the money, because people think, am I going to start my own business, or am I going to go get a job where I can get a paycheck and benefits and all of that stuff? And they think, wow, entrepreneurship seems so great, and it's going to be, I'm going to have freedom and I'm going to make tons of money. Jeremy, how's the money?
the money goes up and down. It's big peaks and valleys. And so last year, one of the things that I had to do to get my business off the ground was not go right to the end business model. After the world's largest business mentoring event, I realized that it was going to take me probably 6 to 12 months to get this new web platform up and off the ground. And so I realized that I needed a bridge strategy. So out of what we learned from the event, I created a workshop called Mentor Ready. And that was a much shorter kind of cycle to find clients and start selling and delivering that. It's kind of the money definitely isn't what I could, go and make at a job. But, the long-term opportunity is much, much bigger.
All right. Well, you're saying that with a big smile on your face. So yeah. It seems like you're very hopeful about the future for Mentor Ready and Mentor Network.
Yeah.
Thanks for telling us your story. Jeremy Okrafka here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM and CIUT.FM. David Tushek, we've been talking to you earlier about your leadership now of JCI Toronto. Your career has lots of twists and turns, from gene machine to computer engineering to payment tech. After high school, you moved to Toronto with $100 and started working at Gene Machine in the Eaton Center. What happened next?
Yeah, so I was just a young kid, probably about 19 years old, and I remember I was looking for a new job. I was selling stuff door to door. I really hated it. I remember walking into Gene Machine kind of feeling a bit depressed, and I met the manager there, I said I was looking for a job, and asking him if he had any openings, and he said, well, do you have any experience, any sales experience? And I said, are you kidding me? I'm doing door-to-door sales. You got people walking in here looking to buy stuff. All you have to do is help them out. And so he kind of chuckled a little bit and hired me on. As a young punk kid, I was very ambitious, even working there. And within a very short time, couple of months, I began asking questions like, "Hey, show me how to work the cash register." And I could tell as I asked him that question that he was looking at me a little strange, like, do I want to give this punk access to our cash register? What's up with that? What does he want access to that for? I talked him into it, and a few weeks later, he let me learn that, and then he just saw something in me that I was ambitious, and that I wanted to learn and to grow. And to fast forward a bit, after only a couple of years at the young age, after having made me assistant manager, he helped me by giving me another store to go and manage on my own.
How old were you at that time?
About 21, I think.
21, managing a store. How many staff?
I didn't actually go to do it. Yeah. It would have been probably about 15 staff or so. At the same time, as I had been talking to him about wanting more in life, I had also began looking to go back to school. So I got accepted to Seneca for computer engineering, and I went over there to do that. So I continued to work part-time, but went to school full-time. And after 2 years of computer engineering, I realized I really didn't like it very much.
It's a bit like Jeremy's story. Eh? Like, it's so funny. He said he started off in accounting. You're saying you went back to school for computer engineering. It's funny that we choose these things, and then you get into it, and then you find out that it's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
What led you into computer engineering in the first place?
Yeah, good question. I think... And I wish I, might have had a bit more direction in my life, but I just sort of figured things out on my own, thinking, well, what would I study? And I figured, okay, well, I'm good at fixing things, I like working with my hands and sort of figuring things out. I'm a good troubleshooter, and so I thought about computers and computer technology, and so I applied for that. What I realized was it was a lot more theoretical than I would have liked. So, after 6 semesters of calculus, I could do calculus like nobody's business, but put me in front of a computer and, I didn't know what to do with it. I mean, I could do programming. I could write, really great essays and papers, but it wasn't the kind of practical stuff that I was looking for. So at that point, I went over to CDI College, just a small private college, to learn computer networking.
So you thought that would be a little bit more hands-on, a little bit more practical. That was sort of the error correction
That's right.
process that you're going through.
Yeah.
And so how did that work out?
It was a lot more practical, exactly, you know, the sort of thing that I was looking for, and I got my diploma in LAN administration, so computer networking.
And what happened next? Did you get a job there?
I did. I began, you know, with my sales experience, I began cold calling companies and asking them if they were hiring for network admins. Lo and behold, one of these companies, a small firm downtown Toronto, called me back and, you know, was impressed that I was cold calling out for this and asked me to send over my resume. He saw my sales experience and said, yeah, you know what, come on in. He hired me. The company was so small that they needed somebody who not only had the tech experience, but who had the sales experience as well, who could go out and find the clients to then fulfill the technical orders.
What kind of company was that?
A small networking firm in Toronto.
And so did that last? Did that go for a while?
I was probably there only about a year and just looking for more money mostly. I ended up going over to a dental software company. And I had applied. I was sending out my resume applying for, you know, technical positions, you know, network admin sort of positions. And this company called me in. They sat down with me and said, you know, we do have a technician position, but you know, you've got some good sales experience here. And at that point, I wasn't really looking to be in sales. I had, you know, done enough sales, and I really wanted to put to use my education. But they said, well, we'd like to make you our sales and marketing executive, and we'll pay you this.
And this being a better number than
exactly, yeah. And you know, it wasn't very much, you know, in retrospect. But at that point, it was more money than I was making, and so I said, sure.
Let me hold it there for a second. We're gonna just have to take a break in a moment. We'll come back to continue the story. But it's so interesting, David, in your story, you know, you have these notions of what you're doing. You are taking inspired action. You're making calls, and then the world has something else to tell you. The opportunities that come aren't quite what you thought. And I think that illustrates perfectly what happens in so many people's careers. And I know there's a couple of more twists and turns that we'll get to in your story right after the break. So we're talking to David Tushak here on Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, on CIUT 89.5 FM and CIUT.FM. We have a couple of messages for you, and then we'll be right back with the three JCI Toronto members, presidents and past presidents, and find out why would anybody want to be a member of an association like this. We'll be right back.
This hour of Career Buzz is brought to you by...
I'm a dental hygienist and a proud professional. I chose dental hygiene because I like health sciences and working closely with people. I received a quality education from a variety of dental professionals in a beautiful facility. I'm happy I chose Regency Dental Hygiene Academy. Visit regencydha.ca for more information.
Are you a student at U of T? Don't miss your opportunity to join one of U of T's most vibrant communities. Hart House is recruiting students to sit on one of its 11 student-led committees. From art to debates, music to social justice, there's something for every interest. Plan a concert series in the Arbor Room, host a dialogue on sustainable economics with leading figures like David Miller, help the theater select its next season, develop events which promote wellness. You can even plant potatoes at Hart House Farm. Visit harthouse.ca/cc applications for more information. Submission deadline is March the 14th.
From the roots up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
We're back at Career Buzz. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. I am practice leader of a team of professional career counselors at careercycles.com. Before continuing on with today's show, I want to let listeners know about the inspiring archive of Career Buzz stories. So you can click the Career Buzz button at careercycles.com. February 13th, guest host Melissa Rodway had an amazing show about women in trades. And we are going to be talking with Melissa a little bit later in Career Buzz Conversations about some of the truly mind-blowing stories of people who left their careers, their kind of office jobs to become heavy equipment operators and all kinds of people in trades and loving it. On February 6th, Career Buzz went to Jamaica. We had these amazing stories of people in Jamaica having really interesting career stories to share. And there was one there from a bookie that I think everybody should have a listen to about. He runs the world's most famous jerk chicken spot in Boston Bay, Jamaica. And then on January 23rd, Dragon's Den star Arlene Dickinson was my guest, along with two Dragon's Den guests. And there were really interesting stories about what happened to these guys when they actually went on Dragon's Den and faced Arlene Dickinson and who got the money and who didn't. So click the Career Buzz button at careercycles.com and you can listen to those inspiring stories. We're back talking to three guys here who are all members and president or past presidents of JCI Toronto. That's a kind of networking young professionals organization. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that organization and why listeners might be interested in participating. They do have events, and there's an event coming up. I'm going to have David tell you about it in a moment. We're going to have a call in. So if listeners have comments or questions, you can call in and you can win a ticket to this event that's coming up. Just before we go there, David Tushek, we were talking to you about your career story and the twists and turns. You just mentioned about working for a dental software company. You thought that you were going to do one thing, but they wanted you to do something else. And I know as that story moved on, there was an interesting transition at the end of that story. What happened there?
Well, what I loved about the position was I was out on the road, really working quite autonomously, being in charge of sales and marketing, and doing a lot of really interesting things. And what I had discovered at that point is that I really loved marketing. I began reading a lot of books about it, and really putting into practice what I was learning. So I was working on, you know, repositioning them in the marketplace and working on marketing materials and stuff like that, as well as doing direct sales. So being out on the road and, you know, and I did quite well. Increased sales by 300% in the short time that I was there.
That's a pretty good increase.
Yeah. So what happened next was they had decided at that point I was reporting to one of the owners, but they decided to change things up and promote the office manager into my sales manager, to become my sales manager. I suppose she figured that she wasn't out on the road, and so I didn't need to be either. And so from that point on, she wanted me just sitting there in front of in my desk, you know, working the phones and making, I forget what number it was, but 60, 80 phone calls per day, and letting her know how it went every day. I quickly began to hate my job and decided I need to move on.
It's so interesting about those moments. Back to error correction, and I think each of your stories are about that. Things go along, you like it for a while, and then something happens, and your story, David, really illustrates that. And, you know, there's a moment there where, you know, the distance between what you want and what's happening gets so great that you have to do an error correction. And that seems to have happened very abruptly over there at that company.
It did, yes.
So just fast forward, David. I know you worked in another company there for a bunch of years. And what happened there that led to what's going on right now for you?
Sure. So a few jobs later, I ended up over at Paymentech, which later got swallowed up by JP Morgan Chase.
These are the guys who do the point of sale.
That's
thing.
Right.
Like if you ever buy something and you want to put it on your debit card or whatever, they're the guys who do that, right?
Exactly. So I, with my sales experience and my entrepreneurial spirit and my ambition, I quickly became the top salesperson in the inside sales team within about the two-year mark, which was pretty standard for me. After around the two-year mark, I started getting itchy feet and, you know, in previous jobs. And around that time, you know, true to form, I began feeling like I was stagnating, feeling like I wasn't growing enough and not achieving enough. And luckily for me, a position opened up within the company and I was able to move to outside sales, which was a much more natural fit for me. So I began doing very well there, working again more autonomously. The chains were off and I was released to go and do what I do best. I had great success. Within a year, I was promoted again to work on larger size deals and went on to become a pace setter, which is 150% plus of your quota, and then even to become the top account executive in the country for a couple years running. something happened, though, towards the end, is that I just, I wasn't fulfilled anymore. I was, again, starting to stagnate. I am very ambitious and always looking to be growing and developing myself personally and be challenging myself. And quite frankly, it was too easy for me. Being the top rep in the country and pushing myself in other areas, having additional goals for myself, wasn't enough. I needed more.
So what did you do?
Well, I began to think about what would I want to do? You know, where am I going to go from here? I've been doing this for now 8 years, almost 9 years, actually. And I thought, what am I going to, you know, where am I going to go from here? I began to look at my life and say, okay, well, what can I really get excited about? I knew that wherever I went, it would have to be something that I could really get excited about selling. I realized that I really enjoyed sales. I really enjoyed marketing. What I enjoyed most of all was taking something, growing it, and making it excellent. And so I reasoned that, you know, if I could do this well, selling something that, you know, wasn't necessarily very important to me, imagine what I could do if I sold something I really cared about. So I said, okay, well, what is that? What do I really care about? And the thing that came most naturally to me was the environment. That's something that's important to me as an individual. And so I started looking around for companies in the environmental sector. And I found a little company. I read an article about them in the Globe and Mail talking about how this little Ontario company was getting it right. I began again just cold calling them and chasing them down, and it took a while. It took about 9 months to convince them to create a position for me and hire me for it. And even at one point they said, no, we don't want you, go away. But I persisted and I said, no, you listen, you need me. You need to grow your company. The world needs to hear about your product. I wore them down. They hired me. And then I ended up quitting 2 months later.
Right. So always there's twists and turns in stories, right? And was that the last chapter there? And that 2 months stint was the last part of the story?
No. I tried once more. I found another environmental company seemed like it would be a much better fit. I learned from the mistakes I made with the first one and asked some additional questions like, do you actually care about the environment? Was a good one, and a few others, really to understand who they are and what their vision is and where they're going. I think I've said a couple times now, I'm very ambitious, and I really want to be with a company that has large ambitions as well. I want to join, be a part of creating something great. So I joined this company, and they were really good, dedicated people who were on a mission, an important mission to help fix the environment. Quite enjoyed it, but still wasn't quite what I was looking for. And I reasoned that, I wasn't just looking for a job. I had a great job. I was making, while I was at Chase Payment Tech, I was making the most money I ever made in my life. I had great autonomy. I worked from home. I had a great boss. I had a lot of really good things that people are looking for, especially in a bad economy. You know, people don't leave a position like I was in to go try something new. So I did. I did that. But I wasn't just looking for a job. I was looking really to join something and to use my entrepreneurial spirit and all my skills.
And I think that's the stories that we've heard from each one of you. And the idea of finding some degree of fulfillment in your career and life is a story that I think everybody goes through. I wonder if I can shift a little bit and talk to you guys who know about what people can gain and benefit from working in an organized, not working, but participating in a social organization like JCI Toronto. I know you have events coming up. So just before we talk about that, David, can I just ask you about the event? If listeners want to call in with a quick question or comment, there's an event coming up. Do you want to just let listeners know very briefly what that is? And if they call in, I'll give the phone numbers in a moment. Here's what you win.
Sure. It's going to be on March 27th. We're holding it at Queen and John Street at Dazzling Restaurant. The seminar is called Who You Are Matters. And we're looking at helping people. There's a lot of people... just as I went through in my life, trying to figure out, you know, what am I passionate about? Who am I? What are my skills? And, you know, what can I join that can really help me to be fulfilled? So the seminar is all about that. It's a more of a workshop, and we're going to help people work through helping them to discover who they are and where they're going to best fit in the world.
And the value of a ticket?
$45.
Great. So listeners, if you have a comment or question, we're going to talk a bit about JCI Toronto and other organizations like this. The call-in number is 946-7000, area code 416-946-7000 if you have a comment or question, and you can win a ticket to the event. Jan, you were president of JCI since 2007. You've traveled, you've been to Turkey, you've gone to national conventions. What have you gained personally from being a member of JCI?
Well, I've gained many things. I think the most significant thing that I've gained is I've learned how to speak in front of people. I've gained confidence and also experience speaking in front of people, running little workshops, because at JCI you can run your own workshops from JCI members to members and non-members. So all that training and development experience, and there were some training and development courses at National Convention and World Congresses that I've attended, I've added it onto my resume. I think that's helped me a little in making that career change to training and development.
Wow, so this is like a volunteer gig for you. Was it a paid gig or a volunteer gig?
Neither. So it's a membership based. Yeah. I actually paid to do all these things because I wanted experience. And that, to me, that's what JCI means the most to me is I call it a superstore of experiences, because if you want to network, if you want to meet people from around the world, if you want to learn how to speak in front of people and do all kinds of things, give back to the community, run events, run little projects, it's all there.
Awesome. I love that. Superstore of experiences, right? Would you say that those experiences that you gained from the superstore there that you were a member of helped you in developing your career for the future?
Definitely. Definitely. It's helped me speak in front of people. It's helped me learn about training development. But it's also helped me connect with people not only all over Canada, but all over the world. At World Congresses, we have members from 100 to 120 countries. And it's just a long list of experiences that I've gained.
Jeremy, your focus now is mentoring, and I know that mentoring and these kinds of connections is part of something that happens at a place like JCI. What kinds of opportunities, especially for building these important connections, can happen through an association or an organization like JCI Toronto?
From my experience, it was kind of twofold. The first piece was the network. So developing a network of other young professionals and entrepreneurs across the country. And that really tapped me into, I'd say, a unique group, because it's not just about, you know, meeting anybody. It's about who you meet.
Is it also about how you meet? Because everybody listening says, well, I got Facebook and I've got LinkedIn and I got piles of people that I'm connected to and I got 300 people on LinkedIn. You know, but that's a virtual network. Mm-hmm. What about the how? How different is it when you come, let's say, to a face-to-face event or something that's a more, I don't know, in-depth or meaningful connection?
Yeah, the context is everything, because one of the things that you really get when you go to a JCI conference more than anything is a commitment to some shared values. So you know the other people there are committed to developing themselves and committed to the values that JCI promotes around leadership and contribution, community. And so it's really a great filter when you show up at one of those events that you know the type of people who you're going to be connecting with. And so I've just found a real depth to those relationships, both on a business and personal level. And from the mentorship perspective, much like Jan's experience, it was more the opportunity to try out some things. So my first mentoring event that I ran was a JCI project called Mentor to Lead. And so it just gave me an opportunity to try something with the support of a team already in place and a network and resources that I wouldn't have had to do on my own.
Wow, test things, pilot things, check it out first before you launch it off into the real world.
Exactly. You know, it's a great testing ground.
Great. We're talking here to Jeremy Okrafka, Jan Vandermeulen, and David Tushek, all members of JCI Toronto. I'm your host, Mark Franklin, here on Career Buzz, CIUT 89.5 FM and CIUT.FM. There is an event coming up on March 27th called Who You Are Matters, and David has announced a giveaway to those callers. Listeners who call in with a comment or a question, give us a call at 946-7000. That's area code 416-946-7000. So, David, the events, like I want to pick up on the value of these kinds of events. It sounds like that's one of the key things about being a member of an organization like this. You know, how often do you do events? Is that the main thing, or are there other ways of connecting through JCI Toronto?
Yeah, the events are one of our main things, and we're going to have events, at least one event every month. And there's all sorts of different events. There's special speakers who will come in and inspire us, train us, or provide advice. There are networking events where, you know, we get a whole bunch of like-minded individuals who are also very ambitious and who want more in life together in a room, and an opportunity to really build some good friendships and networking.
Well, what are the ages typically of JCI members?
Well, the range is between 18 and 40. Typically, we're around 25 to 30.
And let's say you're in your mid-30s or late-30s listening to this radio show. You think JCI Toronto sounds good, but you know what? Maybe I ought to be aiming for something beyond. Where do people grow into? What's the next step after JCI Toronto?
So after 40, we move people to what we call senatorship. So we have senators who... are there, still connected to JCI, still maintain those networks and the friendships.
And nice. Any others, guys, that you can think of that listeners might be interested in?
Well, when JCI was created almost 100 years ago, it was really a junior chamber of commerce. It was called Junior Citizens before, the JCs. So because the reason why was back at the time, to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce, you had to be above 40. So this person said, well, I'm going to create a Chamber of Commerce that's junior for people under 40. And a lot of members, I don't know if it's so much here in Toronto, they join the Board of Trade sometimes, but in many other organizations, they join the Chamber of Commerce there.
Awesome. Guys, if people want to find out more about JCI Toronto, what's the website? We haven't mentioned that yet.
JCIToronto.ca.
Right, and that's the Toronto chapter. Is there like a national or an international homepage?
That's right, JCICanada.com.
Great. Finally, just to come back to the personal, we talked about each of your career stories. And briefly, if I can ask you this one question to reflect on your own personal journeys and think about what you personally have learned about making good career and life choices. What's one piece of kind of self-awareness, realization that you've made in your own stories about making good career and life choices? Jeremy?
Yeah. Find people who are further down the path that you want to go down. Really ask them great questions. Effectively, you know, tell the story of where you're at right now and what you bring to the table, and get their insights and experience. And those are the help. That's the biggest way to shorten the learning curve and uncover some of those opportunities that are right surrounding you that you might not be able to see right now.
Great advice. Just before I get to you guys, we have a caller who's got a comment or a question. Caller, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Oh, hi. I just have a question. I guess I had to take some time off of work to care for my dad, and my networks now aren't in with the right people to get back into the right kind of job. So I'm just wondering what advice you would give me as to how to network and if budget's an issue.
Great question. I think a lot of people probably have a similar kind of question. Jeremy, the whole network thing, and if you've kind of stepped away from all of this stuff because you've been a parent or doing something else, how do you reconnect?
Yeah, so I had a similar experience when my daughter was born seven and a half years ago now. I did take a few years where I stepped back to be able to spend more time with her. And it did really create a gap for me in terms of my network. And that was one of the things that got me motivated to go out and find mentors. So the big opportunity is there's lots of great organizations that can help you connect in with people who are in the field that you want to be in, and to go out and meet with them and, you know, request a coffee to sit down and learn a little bit about their story and have them give you some feedback on how you can get back integrated into either the social or business network that you're looking to connect into.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy. And also, caller, I know there's other organizations like BNI is one that a lot of people talk about. And your own professional association, I find, whether you're an engineer or a marketing professional or whatever, there is an association for you and they have similar kinds of things and events. Thanks so much for calling in. And let's just get all your info so that you get the ticket to the event. David, back to you. The question what you've learned about the twists and turns in your career and life that you can share with listeners.
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing I learned is just, you know, if you want more in life, you got to go for it. You know, you got to get active about it. You can't be passive waiting for opportunities to come to you, unless you're Jeremy and you've set up such an infrastructure that can happen. But for most of us, it doesn't work that way. You know, we actually have to get active about making that happen.
Right on. Go for it and be proactive. That's exactly the message. And Jan Vandermeulen, what advice do you have to share with listeners?
My advice is not to really think of it as a right or wrong decision, because it's not really black and white. It's shades of gray. You may decide to go one point, and if things don't go well, don't hurt yourself and punish yourself by saying, oh, I made the wrong decision. It's not that easy. It's not that simple. It's not black and white.
Yeah, right on. It's kind of like this navigating. There's an error correction element to it. You veer off and you got to come back, but the road keeps on changing.
Right.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us here on Career Buzz. David Tushek, Jan Vandermeulen, Jeremy Okrafka from JCI Toronto. Really appreciate you sharing your career stories with us today.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for having us on.
We got a couple of minutes, and I want to connect back with Melissa Rodway. We've been having Career Buzz conversations every week, taking a weekly topic and turning it into a conversation. She did this amazing show as a Career Buzz guest host about women in trades. It was really fascinating. You can actually listen to these stories I'll give you the link in a few minutes. Welcome, Melissa, back to Career Buzz.
Hey there.
So what did you find interesting or astonishing with all of those interviews with the women in trades?
I found them all really interesting because they'd all, I think, taken a really brave step in leaving conventional lives, and they were trying something that is very still stereotypically dominated by men, and that was their biggest challenge. But it was more about their own confidence, right? And just like really no one was out there to challenge them except for themselves. So it was overcoming all the walls that they felt were around them, but they broke them down and they're so happy. They're so energized and they love their jobs. It was amazing.
It was. That's what I found you just found great people for the show, but they really love their jobs. And there were some very dramatic stories. Can you just share the nutshell version of maybe one of those stories that you found interesting?
I think the woman, Shelley McIntyre, who had been a dental assistant, and now she's a heavy equipment operator. So what was interesting about her story was actually that she'd had a car accident, and being a dental assistant was physically hurting her, and going into this business where she's actually dealing with like physically heavy equipment actually made her feel better. It was like better for her body, better for her soul, and she loves going to work. So it was just like even that sort of mind shift that there can be a completely different route for you that is going to maybe ease even physical problems that you wouldn't even associate with that. Like who would think that dealing with a crane and all of these things is going to make you feel physically better?
Totally surprising.
Yeah.
And you know, when you were listening to that and thinking about people's careers and lives, in men too, not just women,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
And the idea that there are interesting jobs and careers in trades. What was your reaction to that?
I just find it interesting. I mean, as you walk around the city, you see all these new builds and condos going up. And I think that part was interesting to me. Someone pointed it out that when you walk by a site, obviously it needs to be filled with people. And what's interesting for women, if we do stay on that topic, is that a lot of these companies want women on the sites because they are a bit more meticulous and careful, and we can all think what we want or say we want about that. But that part is really interesting to me, that when you see all these construction sites going up, that these are actual jobs being needed to be filled.
Right on. Thanks, Melissa, for talking to us about it. You've been listening to Career Buzz, Canada's unique radio conversation that empowers lives, enriches careers, and energizes organizations here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Mark Franklin. You can find out more about me at careercycles.com. Other guests or other hosts of Career Buzz are Angela Fitzpatrick, Leanne Sachs, and Mark Swartz. If you have comments on today's show, send me an email. It's Mark with a K at careercycles.com. Thanks to my guests, David Tushek, Jan Vandermeulen, and Jeremy Okrafka. Technical production today was by a team.